him of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Just a few instructions as you come up. We wanted to keep this to 3 minutes to give other people chances to share, to give testimony to God. So 3 minutes, try to, you know, hopefully you've been thinking about this in previous weeks. Try to limit it to that time. I know some of you will probably go over. So if you see me stand up, that means it's time to wrap it up. You know, like, so if I'm up here and I go, So try to keep it to 3 minutes. We want to hear about God. We want to hear about how God has been good. He is the hero. It really is all about him. And let's let him be our boast this morning. So I don't know who wants to be the first victim, person to come up. No, it's fine, y'all. So, all right, Emily. Whoa. Woo. All right. We'll have to watch out. This is my wife, in case you guys don't know. I'm her husband, Emily. Oh, I will, yeah. Eileen mentioned this in the e-news. I am, yeah. Eileen mentioned this in the e-news, that if you are uncomfortable with coming by yourself, you know, you can bring a friend, bring a community group, whatever you need to, or I'll stand with you, so. All right, here you go.
So some of y'all, I'm not sure, Jonas had, normal tonsillectomy surgery at the beginning of December, and we thought everything was fine until, in a horrifying way, it wasn't, and, he had to go back to the ER, and he'd had a hemorrhage and lost 2 pints of blood, and it was terrifying. And Roy came and took him to the emergency room, and he had another surgery, and he's fine and sleeping well and running around and bouncing off things. And so we're very thankful that things could have gone really badly, and they didn't. But I'm also thankful and want to say, when Roy left with Jonas and we were at home worried and there was nothing we could do, I called Christy Sawyer, and she prayed for us. And then I remembered that I could pray. And God was with us. And when I was, you know, the kids went to bed, and I was alone, and I couldn't do anything, God sent me the words from How Firm a Foundation: when through the deep waters I call you to go, what is it, my grace all sufficient? I don't remember it anymore. Sorry. It was very intense feelings, but God sent me the words that held me up, that it's really Isaiah 43, when you go through the deep waters and the fire, I will be with you and the waters will not overcome you. And it was true. He held us, and then y'all brought us food and just held us up when I was waking up and waking Jonas up every 3 hours to give him pain meds, and it was just, it's kind of a blur. I'm so glad we don't have newborns anymore. So I'm thankful to God, and I'm thankful for y'all, and I'm really thankful that Jonas is fine.
I wanted to encourage you with a word from Scripture. One of the first scriptures I ever memorized in the King James, that's how old I am. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he loves thee." I looked that up recently because it kept coming back to mind. And the Hebrew is shalom, shalom. So God will keep you in perfect shalom, shalom if you keep your mind fixed on him.
I want to say the doctors was telling me they want to do brain surgery on me because I've been having seizures in my sleep. But they found out where they came from, so they choose not to do it. They gave me medication for it, and I'm still having them. But they want to do it, but the doctors told them, no, she don't need it. She was born with them. And so they got me a lot of medication. I think it's God, they don't got to do brain surgery on me.
I'll try to keep this short, but I'm long-winded, so. A lot of you are friends with me on Facebook or friends with my wife on Facebook. If you're not, look me up. But you know that over the past couple of years, our family has been going through a lot. You know, my in-laws both passed away last year, within months of each other, like Kristen's parents. And so we went into this year, past year with that in mind, and Jessica had just gotten out of the hospital with respiratory stuff, and then, you know, things just kept on happening throughout the year. If you want the full story, come talk to me. I'll let you know everything. But the short version is we've had some financial issues going on. We've had some, you know, Jessica's still struggling a lot with grief. She's been struggling a lot with her health, a lot of issues going on there. And then things just keep snowballing. And then CJ just took it upon himself, my son just took it upon himself to take up hockey. So my pocketbook is not happy right now. But, and I'm the sole breadwinner of the family, so, you know, we're worried about that. And full disclosure, that's a problem of mine. I suffer from chronic worry, chronic anxiety, and I see in the Bible where it says not to worry, and I'm like, but I can't help it. It's hard. But then I see those two words that constantly come up in Scripture, my two favorite words in Scripture, but God. And I look at throughout the year and, you know, throughout everything that's happened, and I remember, you know, I look at all the pressures I'm facing at work, and I think about where I didn't have a job, but God sustained me. God sustained us as a family. I think about Jessica's health issues in the past and how she was hospitalized, but God continues to sustain her. She's still here. I think about the car accidents that she's had, but God brought her through that. God brought us through that. And this is a word of encouragement to you because, you know, we've been through a lot this past year, myself, my family, but we're still here. But by the grace of God, we're still standing, going back to the song we were singing earlier, you know. And that's what it's all about. It's not about me and my weaknesses because in my weakness, he is strong. And God is the reason for that. God is the reason that we are still here and we are still standing. So if you're going through a hard time today, I want to encourage you in that. And like I said, look me up on Facebook. So.
So, like a true introvert, I'm going to read from a piece of paper and not look at you guys. So, hi, I'm Anne Marie, if you don't know me. What I'm about to share did not happen this year, but God has worked in me a lot this year so that I feel able to actually share it. 4 years ago, my family started attending this church. 3 years ago, I started counseling with one of the New City counselors. And 28 years ago, I was a kindergartner and endured a sexually based trauma at the hands of a child who was also too young to understand what we were doing. One day in counseling, we went over the details of this trauma. One thing became clear: something had happened to this child for him to have knowledge of such things. I wanted clarity, so I called someone who knew about what happened at the time it happened and was an adult those 28 years ago. She picked up. I was nervous because I was about to talk about something that seemed to be a family secret. She first denied knowing what I was talking about. Then she said she did remember. She went on to say that things like that happened to her as a child, but that she wouldn't bother people with it as a 30-year-old woman. When the phone call ended, my head was absolutely spinning. I sat down and repeated out loud over and over again to myself, "You are not weak. You are not weak," trying so hard to believe it, but filled with the feeling that I must be weak since she believed I was. On Sunday, with no one knowing about this conversation, I walked into church. We were early. I was following our then toddler, Felicity, around the sanctuary. As I was standing right here, Eli Parkinson walked up to me. He seemed pretty unsure of himself and then said, "I think God wants me to tell you something." I said, "Okay, go ahead." He said, "I think God wants me to tell you that you are strong and not to believe them." In an instant, tears were streaming down my face. All I could see was the memory of myself saying, "You are not weak." I realized that God had been with me as I sat in agony those 3 days earlier following the phone call, and I was terrified. I picked up Felicity and literally ran down that aisle away from Eli down to the basement. I did later follow up with Eli. Then the next Sunday, as Pastor Kevin preached about Cornelius, in walked the parents of that boy from 28 years ago. They lived several states away and did not know where I went to church. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities and the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." God sees us. He really sees us in our suffering, and he desires for truth to be made known.
Hallelujah. I want to take this time and say, "God, thank you." I don't even know what to say to him. We came here 2004, March 23rd. My sister and I were our kids. Now, when we came, God agreed for us to be here healthy, but there was not. My sister, she was really sick. When we came, she came here, Missouri. My own estate, it was New Hampshire, Manchester. So when we came, she was sick. She started getting sick by her leg. Now when we came, the doctor didn't treat her. It started developing. They said, "Oh, we don't know what happened." She was so sick, seriously. Her agency got, talk to my agency for me to come down here, for her, because they found out that she's not going to make it. And they asked me to come, so the children there, so we can't lose them, because when I stay there, then they won't know the family again. So when I came, I said, "God, you the one may also come down here." Walking, it was war when, you send people to our rescue, and we came here, and I don't know what happened. But by your glory, if my sister will not make it, it's okay. You that create your child, if for whatever reason, when it not work out, my sister is so sick, if she would, when you would take her away, we would not say why. no matter what it is, will not ask you why. You know the reason why. She must take here with the key. If she leaving me today, let me know. Don't let her suffer. And she cried out to God. She said, God, take me away. Because I don't know what happened when I came here. All my friends are out there working, going to school, and all the time I'm in the hospital. Why is Lena Zoe? Anybody know Lena Zoe? That's my youngest sister. She the forefront of our mom. My sister cried out to God, but they will not agree until I lose her. But I said, God, she left me her three kids. Her one son with our mom, Bala Biri. And I have a boy and a girl here. She had only one girl, she had two boys. So I said, God, you're the only person that will lead me through with the key, because it's not easy to be a single in a country with children. And my sister and I are supposed to share help. Am I herself for our key? She leaving me today. Father, you're the only person I'm looking up to. Now you will help me out with the key. So now when I lose her, you know, the church, everybody came to my rescue. They said, God is there. You're going to make it. Don't worry. And the church was with me. They keep praying with me. Anybody, the whole St. Louis, praying with me. Anywhere they see me, they thank God for me. Because it's not easy to raise 5 children in a row. My son, Emmanuel Zoe, at that time he was 18. Going to us, you know, 19. I said, God, you're the only person that depends on. Nothing I can do. Because the children, I don't know what to do. But you're the only person that will help me out. And he helped me out until the children grew up. The youngest one before she died, he's 15. I mean, in 14 this year, he's going to be 10. He will be, you know, 15 next year. I mean, yeah, this year he's going to be 15 this year. Last year he was 14. Now, the daughter who is Victoria Zoe. Victoria, can you please stand up for us? I want for everybody to see you. Victoria, 18 this year. Anna. She 18 this year. So I want, give God the glory. I don't have nothing to give him, but just to, you know, glorify his name for being with me until the children didn't grow up, because Victoria was 4 years. The little boy was 3 years when it happened. And God was with me until the children didn't grow up today. So I want to stand before the public, my Christian friends, my mom, I can say my mom and my father. Because if you guys, if people in the church, everybody that's there, y'all are related. Y'all are brothers and sisters. But I want to take my time and say, God, thank you. I want to thank God for them, because they were there for me until with the children. So I want to give God the glory. I thank you again. In Jesus' name, I pray.
I'm bringing my community group. I couldn't get them all to come, but I cry too easy. We've been coming here about a year. We started with meeting with Roy, and my wife and I utilized the counseling services of a guy named Mike, who's now officially retired. And this has been one of the most difficult but best years of our marriage, and I just want to say thank you.
Praise the Lord. I thank God with South City Church. Y'all do God job. Y'all thank you. I y'all take your award. Me have FOG. I be there here 2004. I say be here. Y'all help me, y'all do everything. My children, I pray one day God will answer me. I hear with them. Peter say y'all thank you. Daniel say y'all thank you. I thank y'all. Y'all thank you. I'm not able to tell y'all thank you, God, and don't gotta pay y'all. Just thank you with a Jesus name. From. But each time I found myself in the house of the Lord, moreover in the congregation of the children of the Lord, I feel so happy. Because yesterday, life was so hard with me and my family. My mom was a mother of, she is a mother of six. And four stepkids. That is 10. And she started being a widow at the age of 28. So when I look at myself and my age, and I think about her age of, as at then, she is a big encouragement to my life. When people were telling me, Juliet, you have six kids. How are you going to do with this? Oh, no. I said, well, my mother is a challenge. If she made it in a very hard economy, and all of those kids are something today, they are not the least among their equals, I will make it. Anytime I see another breaking of new day, I say thank you, Lord. Thank you, my God. Anytime I see another breaking of new day, I say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My mouth is not wide enough to talk of the goodness of God. Neither is my voice high enough to sing of his praises. But I say, in all God has done to my life, may his name be highly lifted up in the name of Jesus.
Okay, so I know I won't be able to get through this, so sorry. My name's Adam. my wife Rachel is here, and my mom, Teresa. So, I'm pretty sure I have the timeline on this right, but Rachel can correct me because this feels actually like a lot longer ago. But around this time last year, was it really just last year? Sort of at the end of, about a year ago, I was, I suffered from depression, and I was in a really low place. I have been self-employed for a long time at this point. It feels like a long time since, 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. And there's been ups and downs. But once we brought kids into the mix, it was a lot more downs. I didn't have as much time or energy or ability to kind of keep up with my work. And so as the sole breadwinner at the time, my income dropped and dropped, which feeds into my natural depression. And so by the end of about a year ago, I was, bringing in basically nothing. We had a lot of stress, like actual kid stress and other stresses. And I had not really been making money for a while. And so I hit a very low point of essentially planning to kill myself to provide for my family in a way that I hadn't been able to with my income. So thankfully, Rachel intervened and got me into a nice program, which helped a lot, and my medication was changed and all kinds of things. But I still started off last year functionally unemployed. And so while I was not in that super low place, I still didn't really see a way out financially. But Rachel's constant encouragement and cajoling and prodding, and I'm trying to find all synonyms besides nagging, forced me to finally put my resume together and finally put myself out there, because I had not applied for a job for a long time. I had been self-sufficient. And I finally put myself out there this year, and I got a job, which I started in June, which has been an amazing fit for me. I look forward to going to work every day. I get to shut down at 5 o'clock and go home and be a parent and be a husband. And we went on a trip over Christmas, and I got to not bring my laptop, and I got to not check my email, which is the first time I've ever been on a vacation and not been working, or at least being prepared to. So this year has been a big turnaround for us. I hope that continues. I want to continue slowly getting out of the debt we accrued and all of the things that happened over that long period of me being functionally unemployed. But I just want to give praise to God for bringing me the actual job and providing for our family. But I also just want to thank my wife and praise God for my amazing wife, who has supported me and led our family for a long time and is a fantastic mom to three often difficult kids, and then also me. So she has a hard time, but just praise the Lord. I'm glad to still be here, and I hope to encourage anybody else who has been in that low place. You can always talk to me. You can talk to God, and certainly you can talk to Rachel. Thank you.
We probably have time for maybe one or two more people. I don't know.
Daniel chapter 9. Morning, church. My name is Miko Anguilla, and actually I'm a proxy this morning for my parents, who actually as I was leaving the house this morning, they told me I need to give a testimony for them. So I'm very comfortable staying in the pew and basically doing an individual thing on my own. But just a couple of things. First of all, I'm just so full today because of the community we have as a church. I'm originally from Kenya. I came here when I was 19, went to college, stayed here, met my wife Teresa here in St. Louis, and have four beautiful kids, and have been at New City, I believe, since 2003, when Sifo was born. So was invited here by a roommate of mine in college, and, you know, New City has been faithful. So, just over the time in St. Louis, we've planted roots here. We've seen God moving. We've had challenges as a family. But a lot of glory to God for what he has done. I've seen him work in our family. I just want to thank him so much for Teresa. She's been a stalwart in the family for us, just being that light. But back to my parents. My parents were visiting from Kenya in the summer, just came in, did routine medical tests, and went pretty well until my dad was diagnosed with early stage prostate cancer. So we weren't expecting that, but we were happy that it was early stage. So they went back to Kenya for 2 months, came back in December, and he underwent surgery for that. So we thank God also for the success of that surgery. He is recovering well. He's not able to make it to church, but all glory to him for that, because seeing that those are routine tests that we just thought were, you know, basic things that we weren't expecting to catch cancer that at that stage was something we thank God for. And then a little testimony on my end also. This year has been a tough year, but it's also been probably one of the best years for me. Like Adam, I am a struggling, self-employed, so-called entrepreneur. But I've been doing this for a while and have seen God be faithful in that. But I think the challenge has always been, when do you let go and let God take charge, especially in business. And this year I made that leap and said, okay, God, it's your deal. You figure it out. If we sink, we sink, you know. and it was tough. I mean, those had a couple of situations where, you know, I doubted his faithfulness. I doubted whether I was making the right decisions from a Christian and a believer standpoint, and just really was being pulled towards making decisions from a worldly standpoint. But I must say I stand here today because he's been faithful and seen me through. And I ask the church to continue to pray for us, pray for each other, because that's where we find strength. Thank you.
I know y'all talk about time in this church, but I don't care about no time. I do my thing when I do my thing. But I'm sitting there. I mean, I really want to just get up out of my seat and just run, because I am so full of joy. I'm going to see if I can remember the words to this song. His eyes is on the sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion?
portion. A constant friend is he. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
I had to sing that because what I've learned this year is how good God really is. I mean, when I tell you I've been through some stuff, I've been through some stuff. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. Rapes, mental illness, abuse, loss of jobs. Everybody hate me because I'm so outspoken. But I don't care. When I'm standing right. Look. I am standing right here in this church. I've been in this church for 22, however many years. My kids grew up here. I could not stand for people to hug me. I couldn't stand to be I was a wimp. I would run when people started talking. I'm not educated enough to be in no conversation with people. But it doesn't really matter. When I think about what God has done for me through the loss of 3 children, my son was killed in my neighborhood. I lost my mind, but God gave it back. He gave it back. There is so much goodness in Scripture. There is so much goodness in Scripture. There is so much goodness in Scripture. Okay? All you got to do is read it and be led by His Spirit, which I have been. I'm a fighter. I can be mean. I can be crazy. But on the real tip, I know who God is. I'm a product of who He is. And I just wanted y'all to know that.
Thank y'all so much for sharing and giving us a glimpse. And I'm sure there are hundreds of more stories that we didn't get to hear, but it's always a privilege to see how God is at work in your lives. I didn't finish reading Psalm 145. Yes, let's give God praise. Yes. Yeah. So Psalm 145 continues in this way in verse 13. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You, and to You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand, You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. We're going to stand now and gather in a circle around and prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. So let's stand together. So we get to, in this table again, declare the goodness of God to us, to our hearts, to our souls, to our minds, to our neighbors, to this world, that Jesus has been good, that He has worked wonders, that He is a God who sees us, who knows us, a God who loves us, a God who lifts us up, Even as we got to hear some of the stories of the ways that God has been working in the lives of people in our congregation, that good news is for us to be encouraged by and to know that the Lord sees us all and He has us all. And what more and even a better way that God does that is by inviting us as His people to this table to feed us, to bless us spiritually, to encourage us, to equip us, to build us up in the faith. Jesus gives us this table that it might be real to us, that His grace and His mercy and His kindness might be sensed by us, even in some small way. And all that He proclaims to us in the gospel and all that He proclaims to us of His kingdom, we get a small picture of that in this table. And so Jesus invites to this table all who have trusted in Him, all who believe in Him, all who are walking in faith. If you are one who trusts in Christ this morning, the Lord says, come, you actually need this table. You actually need Him. But you also have in this table the assurance that just as His body was broken and His blood was shed for you, you have the assurance that He is with you. He says to come, to eat, to drink. There might be some who are here today and you are not a Christian. We hope that you've gotten to hear about Jesus. We hope that you've gotten to hear about the grace of God. We hope that you know that the people around you, we don't have it all together. We're not good in and of ourselves. We're not holy in and of ourselves. We're not perfect in and of ourselves. We're not just in and of ourselves. That if God gave us over to our desires and passions, we would probably crush you. We would probably hate you. We would probably gossip about you. We would probably slander you. We would probably be people who turn a blind eye to you. But the good news to us and to you is that Jesus came for sinners, and we hope that you as a person who does not believe in Jesus right now would know that fact, that Jesus came for sinners, that He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Would you repent and turn to Him? There might be some who are here this morning who are professing Christians, who are real Christians, and you know that you're walking in sin and you're not repenting. I'm going to ask that you would let these elements pass you by, that you wouldn't take these elements as you need to take these elements in a worthy manner, remembering what Jesus has done for you, remembering what God has done for you by His grace. May this be a time that you will repent. But to the people of God, the Lord Jesus gives us this table to feed us. None of us are worthy to come to this table. Don't ever forget that. You didn't earn the right to be at this table. You're here all because of God's grace to you and mercy to you. So come. We read the word institution in Luke 22. When He had took bread, He had given thanks. He broke it and He gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood." Let's pray together. Jesus, thank You for this table. Help us to remember, Lord, what You have done. Meet us in these meager elements, God, to our sights. To our senses. Lord, meet us in this sacrament. Bless us, equip us, encourage us, build us up in the faith. Challenge us, convict us, restore us, revive us, O Lord, again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.